Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well.
Was going to happen. That lets us know that God cannot lie. His word is true. You are now once again tuned into Are You? It's personal. Are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr. We do come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time from Hopperwoods, Michigan. Well, on tonight we have none other than overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. will be delivering God's word again on tonight. As I always, as my listeners, please get your Bibles, your pens, and your paper ready so you'll be able to follow along as he get ready to share another word from the Lord with us on tonight. We'll get ready to go into prayer as we always do. On tonight, I am asking special prayer for my entire family. A lot of you may have heard the news that, as you all know, that on the 7th of October, our family, some of our family members and myself was down in Marion, Alabama for the homegoing celebration of my Uncle Jeff down in Marion, Alabama on the 7th of October. Well, on last night, our aunt Lily Mae King made her heavenly transition on last night down in Greensboro, North Carolina. So we're praying for her family, her husband, my uncle Malachi King, their sons, their daughter-in-laws, their grandchildren, their entire family, the King family. Not only for that family, a part of which is a part of my family as well, I also got a text last night as I was getting ready to get into bed from my cousin. His father, Alonzo Gorreed Sr., made his heavenly transition on two nights ago. Again, my cousin, Alonzo Sr., made his heavenly transition two nights ago. But thank God they are here in Michigan. So I'm asking the prayers for our entire family, and we also want to continue to pray for our Aunt Eola Hogue. Again, she lives in Marion, Alabama. We celebrated her husband, our Uncle Jeff's homegrown service on Saturday, October the 7th, down in Marion, Alabama. Not only for my family, but we're praying for all families. I'm seeing on Facebook, so many families are grieving because of the loss of loved ones this past week. We want to continue to pray for all families that have lost loved ones, whether we know them or not. We also want to continue to pray for the people of Israel and also Ukraine. We want to continue to lift up those families. So many have lost loved ones in those unprovoked wars over in Israel and Ukraine. So we want to continue to lift them up in prayer as well. We also want to continue to pray for Jerusalem and Israel because the Word of God says we ought to pray for them constantly. We want to continue to pray for the sick and afflicted all over the land, whether we know them or not. We serve an awesome God. We don't have to send him anywhere. He's everywhere at the same time. What a mighty God we serve. Even in the midst of everything that we're going through, God is still worthy to be praised. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus we come once again on tonight giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you are worthy to be praised. No matter what we're going through, no matter what it looks like, or even how we feel, you are still worthy of our praise. We thank you that you are our faithful promise keeper. You said in your word that we can cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. You also promised in your word that you would not put no more on us than we're able to bear. So I'm thankful, Heavenly Father, and grateful to you, Heavenly Father, that my Uncle Jeff, my Aunt Lily Mae King, and cousin Alonzo Gorby Sr., they all died in the faith. They all had accepted your son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Lord and Savior while they was here in the land of the living. And that's why I'm so grateful on tonight. Thank you that they are no longer suffering in their physical bodies. You have called them from labor to reward for your glory. So now, Lord, we continue to ask that you would forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson and his entire family and every saved believer all over the land that are being faithful doers of your word and not just heroes only. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, Heavenly Father, that you extend to each one of us. We don't deserve it. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that the blood of Jesus still works and it will never lose its power. Again, thank you for being such a promise keeper. You are still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people that are being faithful doers of your word, not just hearers only, in the name of Jesus. So now, Lord, we pray that you will move by your spirit over the airwaves on tonight, that you would speak through your man of God as you use him through your Holy Spirit as he delivered your word on tonight. Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. Continue to bless him, strengthen him, and use him for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for this worldwide platform, Heavenly Father, that you have blessed us to be overseer of. I don't take it lightly or for granted. Thank you for everyone that faithfully dials in to be blessed by your word, to be encouraged and uplifted by your word. Thank you for those that listen in through social media platforms around the world, even those that are incarcerated behind prison bars all over America, that have now have the opportunity to tune in and be blessed by this worldwide ministry. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for opening those doors. We give you glory, honor, and praise. So we pray that you would have your way up tonight, that you get the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight we do have another spiritual food for thought, as always. Tonight it comes to us saying, sometimes God will change your circle to change your life. And I'm a witness. It's the truth. Someone needs to hear that again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. Sometimes, we don't always understand, but sometimes God will change your circle to change your life. I welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase, James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Please take note that I do not own the copyrights to any music or songs played on this ministry platform. Before we bring on our guest on tonight, again, we are praying for my entire family. Again, as I forfeited because some people just dialing in on tonight and they did not hear this news. But we are all going through something. We are all experiencing something. None of us came here to stay. The Lord said that, you know, it's been appointed once unto man to die, and after that, the judgment. So if Jesus Christ don't come back first, we're all going to go that way. So I pray that you're not saved in Jesus' name, that you will come to know Jesus for yourself. So that's why I'm asking the prayers of the listeners, again, for my entire family. We funeralized my Uncle Jeff in Marion, Alabama on October the 7th. We want to continue to lift up his wife, my Aunt Eola, and that family, the whole family. Also, we want to continue to pray for my Uncle Malachi down in Greensboro, North Carolina. His wife, my Aunt Lily Mae King, made her heavenly transition on last night down in Greensboro, North Carolina. And then also my cousin, Alonzo Goree Sr., made his heavenly transition 2 days ago. So we want to continue to pray for my entire family and all those that have lost loved ones all over the land, and not only them, but the sick and afflicted, and then the people of Israel and Ukraine. We want to also keep them lifted up in prayer. I am not going to do a music break song on tonight because I think my guest on tonight, Overseer Joseph B. Jackson, I'm not sure if he's going to do a song for us on tonight. But just in case, I think he said he might do a song. If he's not going to do a song when I open up his phone line, then he's going to go directly into God's word. That's if he's not going to do a song first. But if he is, he's more than welcome to do that, play a song, and then go into God's word, however the Lord leads him on tonight. So I pray that you who are doubting, you are listening to the social media platforms around the world, even those of you that are incarcerated behind prison bars that have access to a Bible, I pray that you have your Bibles with pens and paper ready to follow along with Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. Overseer Jackson, I now yield the mic to you.
Thank you, James.
Overseer Jackson, before you come
through this humanity, you thought this came for one.
bless you. We're happy to be with you tonight. Certainly want to ask the Lord to remember Brother James Brown and his family.
Overseer Jackson.
The word of the Lord says, precious in the sight of God, one of his saints. And so we're asking God to remember that family in their hour of loss. The Bible said, blessed are they that mourn, for they what shall be comforted. Father, we thank you. We praise, we magnify, we glorify, we bless your name. You've been good to us. You've been kind to us. You watched over us another week, God. You've kept us from danger seen and unseen. And for that, God, we give you praise and we give you honor because it didn't have to be. It didn't have to be, God. It could have been another way. But, God, we say thank you for what you're doing. We want to ask you to be with us tonight. We want to ask you to touch the minds and the hearts of those that are listening. I don't know, Father, but I know you put this on my spirit and put it on my heart because somebody needs to be rescued. And I'm asking you now, Father, to throw out the lifeline. Do for them what needs to be done. My God, in the name of Jesus. I need your help tonight. I can't do this by myself. And so, Father, we're asking you less of me and more of you right now in the name of Jesus. Look on our children, God. Many of them have lost their way, and they weren't even trained to love you. They have no consciousness of who you are. God, they'll take a gun and blow your brains out. But, God, we ask you now in the name of Jesus, turn it around. Turn it around. Turn it around. Turn it around. The nation is in trouble. We don't have a speaker in the house, God. We need somebody who can do the job. And we ask you now, Father, to find the best person for us, if you will. Look at Israel fighting a war, God, that they did not start. But I ask you now in the name of Jesus to look on them as you've looked on them throughout their history. Whenever the enemy has come against them, you've raised a standard, God. The Lion of Judah shall rise up. And we ask you now in the name of Jesus, let your enemies be scattered. Have your way in their lives right now and help them. In the midst of their trial, we bless you and ask you to remember those in the Ukraine, all the other places where war is breaking out. God, we need you. We need you. And we ask you to help us now in Jesus' name. We thank you. Now anoint us, Father, for you said it was the anointing that breaks the yokes. A gift is a gift, but an anointed gift is even better. We ask you now in the name of Jesus just to be with us and bless us now. In Jesus' precious name, we pray and we thank you. Amen. Listen, I just want to talk to you tonight because the Lord has given me something that I hope will be a blessing to many of you. I think as you grow older, those of us that have had the privilege of growing older, sometimes we look back over our lives and we just take inventory. And I did that not long ago. And when I did that, I had to tell God thank you because I realized just how kind and how good he had been to me. Like the prodigal son, I had made some mistakes. My God, I made some mistakes. But I told him, thank you for making me like him. Come to myself. And when I came to myself, I went back home. Glory to God. And I just wanted to tell him, thank you. But when you look back over your life, you look at the things that you were into. You look at the things that you had gotten into. You looked at the sin that you were in. And you see how God in his mercy and in his kindness brought you out of your madness. My God, thank you. Because if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I would have been like the rich man who died when Lazarus died. I would have been in hell in torment, lifting up my eyes, wondering what in the world went wrong. But I tell God, thank you for sparing my life. Thank you for being long-suffering. And so when I looked at that thing, the Lord dropped this thing in my spirit. He talked about, I rescued you. When you were in trouble, I rescued you. I came to your rescue, son. Because if I hadn't come to your rescue, you'd have been in a world of trouble today. You'd have been in a world of trouble. Brother James, I'm one of those folks that like the hymns of the church. I can't take this new stuff
that they got.
I can't take this. I can't take this praise and worship stuff. It means absolutely nothing to me because a lot of it ain't nothing but flesh on parade, individuals getting up, singing the same thing over and over but with different modulations. The Bible said gifts and anointings are without repentance. They're irrevocable. But the problem, the thing I want people to know is that gifts that are anointed destroy yokes.
They destroy yokes. And you ought to ask God. I don't want to go in that message. That's another message I'm going to bring to you, but because I'm going to bring a message called You Wear It Well, the gift that you have, you wear it well. But the fact is that if you have a gift, you want God to anoint that gift so that you can be you can be a dynamic individual in the kingdom. Because Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel and to set the captives free. I want to read out of the book of Psalms, four verses from the seventh Psalm. And it says, in you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. I told you I don't care for these new praise and worship songs, because they don't help me in my hour of need. When I was looking at this message, and I was going back over YouTube, and I was looking for the different lyrics, the different songs, because I love the lyrics. I love to listen to what the lyrics say, because the lyrics will bring you out of depression. The lyrics will give you a sense of hope. And I remember how the old folks used to sing a song that said, what's this? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But then they said, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. And then they would sing, love lifted me. My God, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. And we go to war on that song. You hear what I said? We would go to war on that song. We would go to dancing and praising and magnifying God. There was another song that I ran across that I didn't know it, but listen to the words. Listen to the words. And some of you that are going through something, just listen to the words and see what it says. It's called Rescue Me. It said, on the stormy sea of sin, I was sinking, never to rise again. The wind and the rains round about me clashing had battered and torn me within. But he rescued me. Jesus rescued me from the cold, dark waters of sin's troubled sea. He rescued me. New life I can see. Jesus reached down in love and he rescued me. I could feel death's arms around me as I struggled for my life. I could see his angel waiting to claim me for his prize. In my hour of desperation, I almost lost my mind. But somehow I cried to Jesus, and he saved me just in time. He rescued me. Then we used to sing this other song. It said, throw out the lifeline. Throw out the lifeline. Across the dark wave, there is a brother whom somebody should save, somebody's brother. Oh, who then will care to throw out the lifeline for his share? And the refrain said, throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Somebody is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is sinking today. My God, my God. When I listened to those songs, I got happy. I got happy in my soul. I just went up in a praise. I couldn't help God. I couldn't help but give God an anyhow praise. Sometimes you just got to thank him for being good. You got to thank him for being kind. He don't have to do anything more. He's done enough, and you just give him an enough praise just to tell him, God, I thank you. What you've done for me. I thank you for the doors you've opened. I thank you for the doors you closed. I thank you that you got me through the heartaches. I thank you got me through the depression. You just got to learn how to give him a sense of praise. My God, my God, my God. Hallelujah. See, I got to be careful about this message, because I get happy, because every time I think about what I'm getting ready to tell you, it blesses me. You see, Scripture tells us about a lot of people who got into trouble and who had to be rescued. David was one of those people. David was saved from certain death one day because he was fighting the enemy, and he'd been fighting for hours, and as he was fighting, it was hand-to-hand combat. And David got tired, and one of the enemy saw how tired he was, and the Bible said he was the cousin to Goliath, whom David had killed, and so he had a thing against David. I'm going to get you for killing my cousin. And he came over to David to get ready to kill him with the sword. But God sent somebody just in the nick of time to cut the giant down and to save David. You do remember that David had to be rescued on a number of occasions because Saul hated him. Because when God took the kingdom away from Saul, and Saul knew that the kingdom was going to go into the hands of David, he tried his best to kill David. And I got news for you. There are people who don't like you. There are people who don't like the gift that you have. There are people that will do you in simply because they know God's hand is on you. They know that the favor of God is on your life. And they don't like it. They don't like it. David had to run from Saul because one time, you remember, David was one of Saul's generals, and he had gone out and won a great battle. And when they came back home in those days, they rode through the city, and the people would praise the king for the victory that he had won. And Saul heard the people say, the women sing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed tens of thousands. And Saul didn't like it. Saul did not like it. How are they saying what they're saying about David and not me? And Saul determined in his heart from that point on he was going to kill David. One day when David was running from Saul, and Saul was almost on him, David was looking for a place to hide, and he saw a cave. He saw a cave. And he ran into the cave, and the Bible said, look at what God did. He rescued David because he spoke to a spider and told the spider, go to the cave and weave your web. Go and do it now. And he energized the spider so that the spider could quickly do the web. And when he did the web, Saul came past the cave and saw the spider's web closing up the cave. And he said, well, nobody could be in there. Because the spider's web has not been disturbed. God will do what he has to do to protect you. He rescued David. I could tell you some more instances about David, but let's leave him and go to somebody else. Because there are other people that God has done things for. He rescued different people, and I want to talk about them because it's important that you know. Remember, there was a young woman who had been caught in the very act of adultery, and it was interesting to me that when the people who wanted to have her killed dragged her to Jesus. Torn clothes and everything, just torn clothes, and threw her at his feet and said, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. What say you? The Bible says we ought to take stones and throw them and kill her. But Jesus didn't say a word. The Bible said he just stooped down and wrote in the sand. And we don't know what he wrote, but I can imagine. The Holy Ghost told me one night, he said, all he did was write something, but every time somebody looked at it, the words changed to show them who they were. When a thief looked over Jesus' shoulder, the words changed to thief, robber. Yeah. The next person looked over and saw the word adulterer. Somebody else looked at the word and saw it fornicator. Somebody else looked over the word and saw liar. And every one of them saw themselves in the word. And when they saw themselves in the word, what did it say? They threw the stones down. Jesus asked the girl, where are the people who accused you? And she says, they've gone away. And Jesus looked at her and said, well, I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more. He rescued her from certain death because those folks had made it up in their mind that they were going to throw the rocks and kill her. You remember the story about the Good Samaritan? Here was a man who was on his way, on a journey, and he was coming down a certain passageway on his way to Jerusalem, and he saw a man lying on the ground, bloodied and beaten and battered because some bandits had gotten to him. He was at death's door, and the Bible said a priest walked by and looked at him and didn't offer him any help, but walked on the other side of the street and left him in his polluted state. Then a Levite, one of the ministers of music, came by and saw him in the same state, and he did the same thing that the priest did. It's amazing that church folks don't reach out to offer anybody help. But the Bible says the Samaritan man came by, somebody that Jews didn't even like. They looked down on Samaritans because they were half Jewish. They had intermarried with other people, and Jews wanted no part of them. But the Samaritan saw the man in crisis, and the Bible said he soothed his wounds, put him on his beast, rode to an inn, and told the innkeeper, I'm going to leave him here. Take care of him. Here's some money, and whatever I owe you, I'll pay you on my way back. He rescued that man. He rescued him. Do you remember Peter? Two times Peter got rescued. One time Peter was in a ship, and they were crossing over to the other side of the lake. And they looked out and they saw something unusual taking place. They saw something, a figure coming to them, walking through the storm on the sea, and they got scared, and they started saying, it's a ghost, it's a ghost, it's a spirit. And Jesus cries out and said, don't be upset, it's just me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Here Jesus is walking on the water toward the boat, and Peter turns around and says, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. And Jesus did something unusual. He said, come. And when I looked at the word come, God gave me a new meaning for come. He said, see only me. C-O-M-E. See only me. Peter, just look at me. If you keep your focus on me, you can do what I'm doing. Come on, Peter. And the Bible said Peter caught faith and started walking on the water, but somewhere along the line, Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, like so many of us do. He took his eyes off of Jesus, and when he took his eyes off of Jesus, suddenly he began to realize that the lightning was flashing. He heard the thunder roar. He saw the waves lapping up around his feet, and he lost his focus. And the Bible said he began to sink. But he had enough sense to cry out, Lord, save me.
Yeah.
Jesus reached way down and picked him up by the hand and looked at him and said, why did you doubt? I'm asking somebody today, why are you doubting? They told me that if you're going to pray, don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to worry, don't pray.
I know that's right.
Peter, why did you doubt me? I told you, just keep your focus on me. But Jesus reached down, picked him up, and they walked together back to the boat and went to the other side. I know we got folks in prison. Listen to me. Let me tell you something. You don't have to escape out of prison. God has a way of getting you out on his own. If it's his will, you can get out. You know why? Because Peter got out of jail. Herod the king had killed John the Baptist, and he wanted to please the Jews, so he got James, one of the apostles, one of the original apostles, and he had him beheaded, and he saw that the people were happy to see James beheaded, and so he said, well, I've done it to one, let me go get another, and he went and got Peter, and he put Peter in jail, and look what he did. He didn't just put one guard over Peter. He put 16 people on one man. 16 people had to stand guard over one man. That's how badly Herod wanted to kill Peter. But the Bible said the saints of God went into prayer. And prayer can change things. And they went into an all-night prayer, and they began to call on God to save Peter out of his condition. But look at what happens to Peter. Peter's in a bad situation. But did he complain? No. The Bible says, rest in the Lord, and that's exactly what he did. He rested in the knowledge of knowing that God could rescue him. And the Bible said he went to sleep. He took his clothes off, and he went to sleep. But while he was asleep, God sent an angel into the jail. The angel walked past every one of the guards unseen. And the angel, I guess, put them all to sleep. The angel walked to Peter's cell, didn't have no key, just touched it, and the Bible said the door opened. Peter was chained in this prison situation, chains all around him. But the Bible said the angel just tapped Peter and the chains fell off. What's holding you? What's got you bound? Depression, heartache, loneliness, fear, doubt. What's got you bound? What's chaining you down so that you can't do what God asked you to do? The Bible said the angel touched Peter and the chains fell off. God can take the chains off of you if you allow him and look for him to do so. Then he told Peter, he said, Peter, get up. Put your clothes on and follow me. And the Bible said Peter dutifully got up with his clothes on and walked with the angel, and the Bible said, and the angel opened the door just like our doors open on their own. He didn't touch it. The Bible said the door automatically opened. He had an electric eye on that door like we have today. The door opened up, and Peter and the angel walked out of the prison, past the guards, walked out of the prison, and started on his way to where the saints were praying. And Peter thought he was dreaming. Until he suddenly realized he was wide awake and he was out of prison. And when he went to the house where all the saints were, there was a girl by the name of Rhoda who was there. And Peter knocked at the door. Rhoda went to the door and looked out and saw Peter. She couldn't believe it. She ran back and she said, Peter's at the door, y'all. And everybody turned around and said, girl, you must be kidding. Now, if you're going to pray, don't you believe your prayer?
Yes.
And Rhoda went back to the door and saw Peter and said, listen, y'all, he's at the door. And they all ran to the door to see that Peter was there. When you pray, believe that God is going to do something for you.
Amen.
He rescued me. Peter, he rescued you. David, he rescued you. Young lady, he rescued you. Look at the man that was on the cross dying. At first he turns around and he's like everybody else. If you be the Son of God, come on down and save us so that we know that you are who you say you are. But then somewhere along the line, he's watching Jesus carefully. And he overhears something Jesus says. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the thief starts to think about this. And he said, wait a minute. I deserve what's happening to me. But this man doesn't deserve what they're doing to him. They put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. He's done nothing. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. But something is unique about him. And he said to Jesus, hey, I was wrong for what I said. When you come into your kingdom, will you please remember me?
Yeah.
And the thing that I like about Jesus is Jesus stopped dying. He rebuked death because he said, remember, no man takes my life. I give it up by myself. I give it up freely. And he told death, stand back. Like the old song said, hush, hush, somebody's calling my name. I hear somebody calling me. And he turns to the thief and says, what is his son? And he said, when you come into your kingdom,
yeah,
will you please remember me? And Jesus looked at him and said, brother, you got the hook up. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Yeah.
You got the hook up, son. In Studio 54, when you used to go stand trying to get into the club, they used to have somebody at the door waiting to let you in. But you had to have a hook up. Jesus told the thief, you got the hook up today, brother, because you got the right person. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And I started laughing because I can imagine that when he got into the gate where paradise was, the angel looked at him and said, wait a minute. I don't see your name on the list. He said, but brother, I got the hook up. And he turned around and said, this man here gave me the hook up. Open the doors and let me in. Hey, glory to God, saved. I got the hookup. Do you have the hookup today? Do you have the hookup? Hallelujah. Saved. At the last minute. He's one of the few people other my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law, my sister's husband, was sickened to death. And the Lord told me to get up and go to Philadelphia and preach to him. Tell him that I love him, but tell him he doesn't have much time. Tell him that I've got something in store for him if he will just give his life to me. And I got up, took a bus because I couldn't get nothing else. Got there in time to talk to him, and I said, let me talk to you. The Lord sent me. I want you to know how much he loves you. And I told him the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting. God loves you enough to send me here to tell you, you can have the hookup like the thief on the cross. It's not too late. Dottie People said, you can begin again. He's a God of another chance. I'm giving you the opportunity to go to a place where the wicked will cease from troubling. I'm giving you the opportunity to go to a place where there'll be no more crime. There'll be no more dying. I'm giving you an opportunity to go somewhere where there's a mansion waiting for you. Ah, glory to God. Will you accept the gift that God has had me come to give to you? And he dropped his head with tears streaming down his eyes and said, Lord, have mercy. Forgive me of my transgression. Forgive me a sinner. I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. And 2 days later, he closed his eyes and died.
Lord Jesus.
My sister looked at and told me, she said, Joe, when he died, there was such a peace on him that I had not seen. All because you came. Tell him about Jesus.
Yes.
Tell him about Jesus. There was another man, and I'm through. Another man by the name of Naaman. He was a captain of the Syrian host. He was a goodly man, and he was a military man, and he was tremendous in battle. He won wars for his king, but the Bible said he was a leper. He was going to die. But he had captured a young Israelite girl, and she turned around and said, told his wife, if my master would get to Israel, there's a prophet there that can help him.
king sends him to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel says, am I God that I can heal this man? You just trying to start a war. But the prophet heard what had happened and said, send him to me. And Naaman, with all of his entourage, rode to the prophet's house. And the prophet didn't come out. The prophet sent his servant out and said, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And Naaman got mad. How dare he tell me to go dip in some dirty water? I got better water in my hometown. And he rode off in a huff. But some of his people turned around and said, wait a minute, Brother Naaman. Mm-hmm. If he had told you to do some great military thing, you'd have done it.
That's right.
But all he told you to do was go dip in the water 7 times, and you would be healed. Now, let me tell you something, Brother Naaman. You're the one with the leprosy. Ain't none of us got it but you. You're the one that's going to die. So what you going to do? And the Bible said Naaman went to the Jordan River and dipped 7 times, and God gave him back his life. He rescued him. But the greatest rescue of all came when Jesus turned around in the Garden of Gethsemane and decided to go to God and say, if there's another way,
yes,
to bring about this plan of salvation, I need you to find it right now, because I don't want to die. I really don't want to die. I don't want, my flesh is saying I don't want to die. He had friends, and he asked them to pray for him. And sometimes your friends will go to sleep on you. They don't see the situation like you do, or they just may be tired, like them boys were tired. Suddenly Jesus turns around 3 times. That's why you can't tell me that the old saints used to tell me that you think to take it to God and leave it there and don't pick it up again. I'm sorry, Jesus picked it up 3 times. 3 times he picked that same thing up. He dropped it at Jesus at the Lord's feet once and didn't get the answer he wanted. He went back a second time and put it at his feet, didn't get the answer. And the third time he said, nevertheless, not my will but yours be done. And the Bible said he made a choice to do what God had asked him to do. And the greatest gift of all, the greatest rescue took place when he went to Calvary and died for you and me. You can be saved tonight. You can be free tonight. You can be rescued. He's throwing out a lifeline to you. And don't you think you don't need it? All I got to do now is look around. And the Bible said we're living in perilous or dangerous times. Don't you think you don't need him now? If you ever needed God, you need him like you've never needed him before. Death and destruction are everywhere. You don't know if you're going to make it back in your home when you leave the house. You don't even know whether you're going to make it out of your house alive, because in D.C. they're shooting through windows. We saw something the other day where somebody was shooting arrows at people in their backyard, shot the dog in the neck, and shot arrows in the window areas. You don't know, girl, 10 years old, Mother's Day, riding in the car in the celebration with her mother, shot to death by gangs on the street. You need Jesus.
Yes, we do.
You need the Holy Ghost in your life. You need him. The greatest rescue came when he died on Calvary's cross for you and me.
Thank you,
Jesus. The question is, yes, will you accept the gift that he is offering you? Somebody said to me, how can you justify God saying that he'll send people to a burning hell if he's such a wonderful God? I said, because he gave his son. He allowed his son to die for you. He turned his back on his son because his son said, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? When he saw his son in trouble, he turned his back on his son. When the angels wanted to go and release him, he held up his hand and said, don't move. Don't move. Mm. James Brown is coming. I've got to save him. Joe Jackson is coming to save him. Put your name in there. He had to save you. And so God turned his face on his son
Yes, he did.
So that the greatest rescue of all could ever be taking place. They want to rescue the hostages in Israel. God wants to rescue you. All you have to do is surrender to him. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Magnify and glorify your name. We bless you for your goodness and your mercy. I'm rescued, and I'm grateful. I'm rescued. Oh, God, I'm rescued tonight, and I'm grateful. You threw out a lifeline to me, and I'm so grateful that I was able to grab it and come into the ark of safety. My God, help us. Help us in the name of Jesus to do the right thing. In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Woo, my Lord, what a word tonight.
Hallelujah.
What a word. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for this powerful word on tonight. He, talking about Jesus, rescued me.
Rescue, God. Hallelujah.
Oh, you got to make this thing personal, and it is. It is a personal thing on tonight.
Yes, sir.
Thank God for Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Overseer Jackson, for this much-needed word on tonight. Listen, before I open up the phone lines, I've made a promise to this young man that I was going to make a special announcement for him on this radio platform, and I'm going to do that. I should have did it before Overseer Jackson came with the word. Minister Faris G. and Jeremiah presents the Detroit Tenor Sings at the Central Baptist Church. Address is 9620 Sorrento Avenue, and that's in Detroit, Michigan. 48227 is the zip code. That's going to be taking place this coming Sunday, October the 22nd. Sunday, October the 22nd. The concert starts at 5 p.m. The doors of the church open at 4 p.m. You can purchase tickets at God's World. Their phone number is area code 313-862-3220 or at eventbrite.com. Or if you need more information, you can call area code 248-854-2557. Again, that's Minister Faris G. and Jeremiah present the Detroit Tenors Sing at Central Baptist Church. Once again, the address to the church is located at 9620 Sorrento Avenue. That's in Detroit, Michigan. So that's this coming Sunday, October the 22nd. Concert starts at 5 p.m. The doors are at 4 p.m. We're getting ready to open up the phone lines. Overseer Jackson, I thank God for you. Thank you for allowing God to use you to minister to me, not only to me, but to every listener that faithfully dials into this worldwide platform. Thank you for the prayers of all the listeners and for you, Overseer Jackson, that's praying for my entire family during the loss of the three different family members in my family. And I thank God for you all praying for us. We are to pray for one another. The fervent prayers of the righteous, what the word of God says, avail as much. You need me, I need you. So, again, Overseer Jackson, thank you for this word on tonight. The phone lines are open. So those of you that have dialed in, if you have received this word on tonight, if you were blessed or encouraged by the word on tonight, or if you just want to give Overseer Jackson words of encouragement, you can do so now. The phone lines are open for anyone. The phone lines are open. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I want to say that I really was blessed by the word tonight, and I want you to continue to preach the word, and God bless you.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Aunt Essie Tipp from Greensboro, North Carolina. Thank you so much. Anyone else?
Yes.
Yes, it's always good. It's always good to hear the word from Overseer Jackson, because sometimes he'll take you way back.
Yeah.
I mean, he take you way back. So it's always good to hear you, baby.
Thank you, sweetie. And keep
up the good work.
I'm going to try, baby. Thank you so much. God bless you.
You're welcome.
That's my first cousin, Mary Ann King from Greensboro, North Carolina, is on tonight, Overseer Jackson. Listen, I met you, Overseer Jackson. I love gospel hymns. point in my house. Thank God, I mean, I'm putting the mortgage in my house. I didn't do the pews in it, and I can't pay it right now. I got to get it repaired. But I love him, the hymns of the church, even today. I love the gospel hymns because they have powerful messages in each one of them. The phone line is still open for anyone else that have dialed in on tonight. If you have a voice of encouragement or Overseer Jackson, or if you just enjoyed the message of tonight, please let him know. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. I see we have our sister, Cheryl Doss, on the line, Overseer Jackson, the young lady that you prayed for before. She's also a member of Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church. Also want to give a shout-out real quick to my pastor and shepherd, Pastor Mark C. Holloway, and my church family, the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church. I thank them for keeping me and my family lifted up in prayer as we go through our crying times. At this time, Taylor Dawson, we have issues with her throat and voice, but I knew that if she could speak, she would definitely give you words of encouragement. I know that she was truly blessed by your message on tonight. Overseer Jackson, as always. Sister Gwen Walker is one of our faithful regular listeners on tonight. I spoke with her earlier on tonight, this evening. I know that she would have been on the line, but something apparently have happened. And I know that we'll go back to the website and up, and she will listen to this broadcast on tonight at a date fall, and how much she appreciates this word on tonight. So anyone else, while the lines are open, anyone else, before we close out for tonight? Listen, I want to make sure I give you all his name right, and that is none other than Pastor Marcus Clark from Kansas City, will be my special guest on next Thursday night. We have Pastor Ron May will be delivering God's word on this coming Saturday night. Pastor Ron May will be delivering God's word on this coming Saturday night. And then again, Pastor Marcus Clark out of Kansas City will be delivering God's word on next Thursday night. So you want to tune in and be blessed by him. He's the pastor of the Love Fellowship Church in Topeka, Kansas. That's Pastor Marcus Clark for next Thursday night. Overseer Jackson, if you don't mind, would you please do me a favor and close out in prayer for tonight, please?
Certainly, Father, we thank you. We praise and magnify and glorify your name. We bless you for all you've done for us. I ask you now to watch over each and every one. Let the angel of God protect and keep. Let there be no carjackings, no shootings, no stabbings, no fires, no trouble of that nature. Rebuke the hand of death. And then, Lord, remember Brother Brown and his family as they travel to the various places that they must go to say goodbye to those that have gone on to, and transitioned to be with you. We ask you now in the name of Jesus, until we come again, those that are in the prison systems, give them a ray of hope. Make ways and open doors for them, even as you did for Peter. We thank you in Jesus' name. If there's anybody sick, I ask you now to touch their bodies from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. And bless your people everywhere. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much, Overseer Jackson. Know that I love you, but guess what? God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.